Good morning. It's Great Friday. It's Palm Sunday weekend. I hope you're ready to start Holy Week together. It's going to be. I love the next week. I really do. Palm Sunday is a wonderful day, and I can't wait to walk through Holy Week with you next week. We have Palm Sunday worship at St. Matthew's this week. Easter egg hunt, 3:30, and then we're going to have an open house for our new building at 4. So, if you'd love to see the new building we have and look around, we'd love to have you come be with us. It's going to be a great day. And then, of course, next Monday is Holy Week. So we'll start there. And what we're going to do during Holy Week next week is we're just going to walk each day of Holy Week. We'll walk through what's happening that day. We'll take some time and walk through that. And so we'll finish out chapter 2 today, and then next week's Holy Week, and then we'll pick up with chapter 3 the following week. So today is the end of chapter 2, and then chapter 3 will be a week from Monday. So but Holy Week will be a fun week for us to learn together and explore. So today we'll read verses 28 through 32 of Joel chapter 2. Then afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show my portents in the heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those who the Lord calls. Okay. Does that sound familiar to you? Particularly verses 28 through 31 and the beginning of verse 32. Does that sound like a passage you've heard somewhere before? It ought to sound familiar. You ought to be saying, huh, I feel like I know that somewhere. I feel like I know that passage. What's it talking about? Well, if you go to Acts chapter 2, you're going to see that passage there is what Peter quotes on Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit comes. So remember how I said before that the prophet of the Lord, they don't always just have to do with future telling, but a lot and a lot of time, in fact, most of the time, the prophet is speaking the word of the Lord for the people to hear in that moment. But here is one of those moments where we see the prophet pointing towards the future. It says, then afterward, so in other words, after the Lord has restored and saved, then afterwards, I will pour out my flesh and my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters, they shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. So we see the Lord saying, okay, there's going to come a time when the Spirit will not just fall upon an individual. Remember how we talked a few days ago about how in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, the Spirit would fall specifically on a single person. That was a prophet. And that prophet would have the word of the Lord, and that would speak from that. Okay, so God's saying here, there's going to come a time after I've restored and saved, when I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. That is what Peter's quoting on Pentecost Sunday, that the Lord pours out his spirit upon all people. And that's the promise of Pentecost, y'all. That's the promise of Pentecost for us as Christians, that the Spirit has fallen on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit has come, and that all of us have access to God's Holy Spirit. And in fact, that's one of the truths of what we believe as Christians, is that the Bible teaches us that you can't be saved apart from the Spirit, apart from the Spirit coming upon you and convicting you of sin and calling you to repentance and then glorifying the name of Jesus in your life. You really can't be saved. So our very act of salvation, if you are a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're following him, then your very salvation, your conversion is the direct result of what we see happening here, of what Joel prophesied, that one day the Spirit will fall on all persons, and all persons can be saved. It says here, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. It goes back to him. He's preaching on this Sunday, John 3:16, or maybe two Sundays ago. For God so loved the world. It means everybody. The Holy Spirit fell, and all sons and daughters, old men, young men, male and female slaves. There's no distinction of person. There's no distinction of class. There's no distinction of status. We see here in this moment that everyone has the Spirit of God poured out upon them, and that everyone can experience God. And so for you today, and for me, through reading scripture, through our time of prayer, through our time of worship, through our time of service, through these things, we can experience the Spirit of God. We can. It doesn't just have to be a Sunday thing. It doesn't just have to be a church thing. But every day, God calls us into experiencing that beautiful mystery of redemption, that beautiful mystery, that beautiful experience of growing closer to Him. And so God desires to know you, but it isn't just that God desires to know you, but God desires for you to walk close to Him in His Spirit. So for us, I think in our life, we see that God is pouring out His Spirit upon us. The Spirit is something that we have to earn. It's not like you've got to do anything to make God give you the Holy Spirit. It's not like you've got to do anything to make God love you. What we have to do, though, is we just have to be open to receiving it. We have to be open to receiving it. One of the analogies that I love is, I've used it before, is that our experience with God, our salvation, our Christian growth is a lot like rebounding. I was taught early at a young age when I played basketball how to box out, how to get between your man and the ball. If you box out, you put yourself between your man and the ball when you're fighting for a rebound, something good's going to happen. Either you're going to get the rebound, or your man's going to go over your back and foul you, and you're going to get a foul called. But either way, if you're boxed out, if you're putting yourself in the right position, something good's going to happen. It's all about positioning, putting yourself in the right position. That's true in every sport. That's true in baseball, football. It's true in music. If you have ever gone to a concert, you've seen the musicians warm up and put themselves in the right position to play the piece in front of them. If you put yourself in the right position, you're going to be able to do what you're supposed to do. Well, God's poured out His Spirit upon all, upon sons and daughters, male and female, young and old. He's flung His Spirit out there for all of us to receive. We just have to be available to receive it. God's trying to give it, but if we don't have open hands to receive, we don't have open hearts to receive, we don't have open ears to hear, then we'll never know the power of that Spirit. So today, it's not about God giving it, because God says here in Joel, He's going to give it. If you go fast forward to Acts chapter 2, you see it happening. And now we today live in the after effects of that gift of the Spirit being given. So today, I would encourage you today in your life and where you find yourself to give yourself space to be available to the Spirit. Ask God to let you see through His Spirit. Ask God to soften your heart to receive. Ask God to soften your ears. I think there are things we can do, like reading scripture, like prayer, like worship. Wesley called these things the means of grace. I think through receiving communion. I think through these rituals of the faith that are called sacraments, or through what we Methodists call means of grace as well, in addition to the sacraments. We can receive grace. We can receive the Spirit to know how to live and what to do and how to serve. So He poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. It's pretty cool. Hundreds, hundreds of years before Pentecost Sunday, Joel prophesied that, and it happened on Pentecost, and we're still living into that today. So open yourself up to the Spirit. God will speak, and God will transform. So hope you have a great weekend. Like I said, we'd love to have you worship with us Sunday at St. Matthew's if you're in the area. We'd love to have you with us, and I can't wait to start Holy Week with you next week. Have a great day.